to get everybody to stand. We're going to go into our hymn of praise, which is Victory in Jesus. Now, I know it's raining and a little weary outside, but I want to hear some victory in your voices. Jesus. And let me tell you, Jesus is in every bit of that 2 + 2 = 4, because for some of us it is impossible. Somebody said, was she just running in church? Yes, I was. I am happy for the Lord. Okay, somebody else. Victory in Jesus.
To your right.
I'm thankful that my son is safe in Japan. They had a typhoon the other day and everyone is safe.
Beautiful, beautiful. All right. Let's sing that second verse. I heard about the healing of his cleansing power.
Jesus.
children said?
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, good morning again. Go with me to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning, God, for just another wonderful opportunity just to come before you, come before your throne and to worship you. Father, this morning, as I woke up this morning, my heart was just burdened for prayer. Our Sunday school lesson this week was kind of on prayer, and kind of, God, that's where my heart's been this week is as I begin to read and begin to think about prayer, how important it really is. God, just as at the time of this morning, God, as we set the tone for worship, God, it's where how we do the battle. So, Father, I pray this morning that you would touch our hearts, God, as we pray. God, encourage our hearts as we pray. God, encourage our hearts to lift one another up. Father, this morning we ask you, Lord, as I look over this crowd this morning, God, I see so many different faces, so many different struggles and trials, and God, I just lift everyone up to you this morning, Lord, that their hearts and their would be lifted and enlightened this morning, God. As we draw near to you, God, and we join in your yoke, God. We know it's easy because, Lord, you're taking the load. So this morning, God, I pray that each load that's here this morning, God, will be left here in an altar, whether that's sitting in a seat or they actually come up to an altar and pray. God, this morning, that each burden would be lifted. God, you would encourage us and lift us up. God, allow us, Lord, to worship you this morning in the spirit and in truth. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us and all that you're going to do for us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand and sing our offertory hymn. There's just something about that name.
Good morning. This morning's offertory scripture is from Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he also will reap. For he who sows of the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows of the Spirit will reap everlasting life. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to Thee once again, praising that great name, Jesus. We ask that You always remember, we always remember that name. It is a sweet name, a pleasant name, a name full of meaning and hope. And Father, now we ask that if there be one soul here in this office, this group, this congregation, that doesn't know Him, we ask that You would touch that soul and bring them to a saving knowledge of Your grace. And Father, now as we pass the plate, we ask the offering be taken up. We ask that you would bless those who give and those who do not have to give. Be with each one as we go throughout the day. These things we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
But I will sing of your strength. In the morning, I will sing of your love. For you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus.
For now I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
May we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning in all humility. We ask that you be with us during this service. Give me the words that you would have me say, the motivation that I need. Equip me with the power that I need from you to be able to present the message that you've laid on my heart this morning. Dear God, I ask that you be with Pastor Larry and Jan as they are in revival, I believe, at Mount Hermon. Dear God, equip them so that someone might receive your word and make a profession of faith that might come to a saving knowledge of you, our Father, and spend eternity with you in heaven. I pray for this church as the church in general goes about the preparation for the budget next year. May we all be concerned. May we all pray about it. And may we all discuss it and then vote a decision that would be honorable in your sight. Dear God, help us as Christians to focus on the unseen versus the seen, our Father. The unseen is spiritual. The seen is here and now and worldly, our Father. We know that you tell us that in this world we'll have trouble. But you also tell us that we need to be not concerned because you are in charge. You tell us that you'll be with us in all things and you'll never leave us or disown us or forgive us, our Father. You will forgive us. Dear God, thank you for everything that you present to us. Thank you for the opportunities that we have through this church. You tell us you'll never leave us or forsake us, and that I take to heart. Thank you for the people that we have in this church, for the commitment, the dedication that we have through the ministry for so many people, the opportunities that are taken advantage of, the opportunities that you give us as far as being your instruments on earth. Dear God, be with us and guide us in stressful situations. Help us all to realize that you are our Lord and Savior, and everything that we have or of a hope to have comes from you. Forgive us for our sins and guide us, for you are our Father, the author and the finisher, and will be the finisher of our faith. For this we ask in thy name and for thy sake. Amen. This morning, as I was thinking about what I want to say, the good Lord, I want to premise the scripture that I've chosen with some thoughts that were communicated to me by the end of this week or during the week. And I want us to think about choices that Christians make. That's the title and the topic of my service today. And I want us to think about courage to stand up for what we believe in. And I went back, stand up for the Lord as Christians. I thought about a situation that occurred back in 1989. I want to relate that to you for just a few minutes. You know, this gentleman had courage, and because he had courage to stand up for what he believed in, one ordinary man has inspired millions. And he became known simply as the Tank Man. And after all these years, his identity is still unknown. Think about that. On June the 5th, 1989, on a day after the Chinese authorities, as you're well aware, massacred in Titanium Square protesters in Beijing, a young man dressed in a white shirt and dark trousers stood in the way of a column of oncoming Chinese tanks. You can imagine that, a situation in which the Chinese had little value for human life. And he simply, handedly, blocked a column of advancing tanks. He stopped their attempts to maneuver around him by stepping into their path. Now that took guts. That took determination. That took standing up for what he believed was right. Video cameras from around the world and photographers recorded the scene as the Tank Man stood his ground for quite some time. Well, eventually, police came on the scene, pulled the man back into the crowd. They didn't harm him. And then he apparently disappeared into anonymity. You think about that. To this day, no one is sure of who he was or his whereabouts. And the media coverage of the brave stand was broadcast around the world. And near the end of the 20th century, that man was Time Magazine listed the Tank Man as one of the most influential 100 for the 20th century, and they called him the Unknown Rebel. I wonder if today, if we had the opportunity to stand up for Christ, if we would do that. Would we put our lives on the line for Almighty God? You know, Christian freedom is not the ability to do what you want to do. It's the power to do what you should do in accordance with God's will, in accordance with the guidelines and precepts he gives us in his book, in his word. And I want us to think about that as today for a few minutes we look at Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. This past weekend, I had the opportunity to go to a 50th anniversary high school reunion. People there that I was probably the prodigal son because I hadn't been there in 50 years. But I enjoyed seeing some people and talking with some folks that I didn't feel that I had a lot in common with in years past. And I found my religious, my beliefs, that foundation that we all have in Jesus Christ was a fortress for me to be able to communicate, to find some common ground with one of the members of that high school assembly that we had. That young man, he was a captain of the football team, a captain of the baseball team. I wasn't an athlete, so we didn't have a lot in common in high school. But we got to talking that night about ministry. And that gentleman is actively involved in his church. We found that common ground based on our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was pleased, and I'm pleased to be affirmed as a lay minister in this church. God has blessed me tremendously. But I talked to that fellow, as I did several others, and then he told other folks that I was a lay minister in the First Baptist Church, and we had some positive Christian-oriented conversation. That motivated and inspired me. I'll back up for no one when I tell you that I love the Lord. And you know, Paul continues to instruct believers about behavior. And that's what I want us to look at today in Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. The choice, not that people make, but that Christians make. And as Christians, I want you to all think along with me for a few minutes. Paul continued to instruct the Ephesians about behavior. He talked to the Corinthians and other folks in the epistles, and he continues to instruct us today. It's as appropriate today as it was then. He focused on growing spiritually so that believers could serve each other in the Lord. And that's what we need to think about and be about. Now I wanted to talk a little bit about how to grow spiritually. To grow spiritually requires Christians to make time to have a relationship with the Lord. That should be a priority. That personal relationship that we have with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It could be through devotional time each week. It could be each day, sometimes on an hourly basis, sometimes when we're riding in our automobiles. It should be a priority. And he discussed how we should live, the influence and the example that we set for others. Sunday morning, I guess everybody cleans up well, but how do we react during the week when we're in the trenches? Are we helping other people? Are we addressing needs? Are we concerned about the needs of others? All that has to do, in my opinion, with influence and example. Then he goes on to say, a Christian life requires us to strive for a series of steps going in the same direction. And number one, it requires obedience to Christ, to these guidelines and precepts that we have. We must grow towards spiritual maturity, and it, to me, that emphasizes continuous improvement. All through our lives, we take courses. We're continually trying to upgrade, to analyze, to improve our lives, and we need to do that with Christianity too, that continuous improvement aspect of the choices that we make as Christians. We come together on Sunday morning. We study God's Word in Sunday school. We're here together to discuss His Word today. Sunday night, at other times during the week, we meet together. We have prayer through devotions on an individual basis during the week, and we all need to be aware of that, and we all need to try to set those examples and to follow His Word as far as establishing a personal relationship with Him. Believers are to be serious and careful about each step of trying to become mature Christians. We need to think about it, the influence that we have on others, on family, on grandchildren, on children. Do we take time together to have a family meal during the week? Do we discuss the, let's say, goals, hopes, and needs of others? Or is everybody going in a different direction? Often that's the case. Sometime during the week we need to sit down, we need to be together as a family and have some serious family discussions about the needs of family, about the encouragement of family, and about the opportunities that are presented to family as far as our Christian faith during the week. We need to guard our steps to give serious attention to the life we lead, the example that we set. You know, old Satan is everywhere. A challenge comes. And attitude is everything. I firmly believe that, and especially concerning our Christian beliefs. I remember a few years ago, it's been 30 or 40 years ago now. When I first went to the company that I worked for, it was a DuPont company, the young fellow that was in charge was doing an orientation class, and that was 1966. He was the equivalent of a second lieutenant in the Army. He was just out of school, wet behind the ears, and all of that type of thing. But he's a pretty good facilitator. But I'll never forget what he told us. He said, you know, this company expects you to do the best you can, but he said, above all else, he says, we expect you to maintain a good altitude. Well, folks, I've been flying high ever since. And, of course, he was referring to attitude. But a steady and stable walk with the Lord requires us to take steps in keeping with God's wisdom. Paul mentioned two categories of people, and that's what we want to look at today. He talks about the wise, and he talks about the foolish. What category do we fit in as individuals concerning our Christian perspective? Well, let's look at the wise for a few moments. Jesus taught that a wise person would take his word seriously. Do we as Christians take his word seriously? Do we believe in it? Do we try to adhere to it? Do we try to communicate? And do we try to set proper examples for other people and influence them? A wise Christian uses opportunities well. Paul was not talking about dealing with hours in a day or the number of days in a week. He was talking about spiritual responsibilities. It has to do with the unique possibilities, when you think of it, that God places before us as we walk with Him. And wise believers, when you think about it, will be making the most of every opportunity to serve one another, to take care of the needs, to think about one another, to pray for one another. And I thought of this, it's sort of like buying up a valued bargain in a store. I remember Kmart used to years ago. I don't know if they still do, but they had a blue light special for a few minutes when you were in the store, and people would actually fight over the bargains. But that bargain might not be around long. We need to take advantage of it when we have opportunity. And then wisdom is taking the initiative, when you think about it, to look for opportunities to serve another. That real world challenge that we had to take care of the needs of others. When we see opportunity and we know there's a need, we need to address it as Christians. And then we are wise when we see and seize those opportunities. Often that has to do with a real world need. Does this person have food? Does this person need transportation? What about physical and mental stress? Are we a good listener? Sometimes that's more important than anything else. Are we concerned about our fellow man? What is it? Galatians 6:10 says is we have opportunity that we need to take care of the needs of others, and especially those that belong to the brotherhood of Christ. I love those verses. We need to think about that and try to do something about it as far as a Christian challenge. Evil is always present, and each day brings its own challenge. And we must use our God-given talents to address those needs of others. That's what he's talking about today. That's some of the things that the wise Christian needs to consider. That's some of the wise Christian attitude, the attitude that a wise Christian has, and some of the things that they need to do. And then let's look at the unwise. Well, you got positive. Now we'll look perhaps at the negative side of it for a few minutes. Paul urged Christians not to be foolish. That's a big statement. We all make mistakes, and I understand that. But he all addressed and urged us not to be foolish as far as the choices we make concerning Christianity and spirituality. And then, you know, along with that, a foolish person will have no interest in learning about Jesus' ways. He would care less, or she would care less. They don't want to hear it. They want to go about their own way, doing what they perceive as world-inspired, doing the things that they enjoy. They could care less about the spiritual aspects of life, things that are pleasurable, things that they enjoy. A lot of people go that route. You think about it. Not about what God tells us that we need to be about our spirituality and about trusting Him, and having a daily personal relationship with Him. Our lives on this earth are temporary, friends. One of the scriptures I thought about this week when I was looking at this, at what I wanted to try to communicate, is Psalm 103. And it describes them, it describes our lives, it's actually in reference to a vapor. It describes our lives like grass. A man or a woman, we flourish, or a flower in the field, And then the wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. This world is temporary. If we accept the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we believe in Him, then that inheritance that we have, that victory over death, we'll spend all eternity with Him. That's more important to me than anything else. The things that we have in this old world, our possessions, our money, are nothing. That doesn't mean a thing. The older I get, the more the spiritual aspects of that spiritual Christian foundation mean more to me than anything else. We need to consider that. Some people don't know Christ. It's our responsibility to try as best we can to let them know about Christ. Now, it's our responsibility to sow seeds. Let me go to that extent. It's up to the good Lord where those seeds culminate. We can't control the actions of people, but we are responsible as Christians to sow seeds. And so, you know, we could ask him, do you know the Lord? Do you know who he is? If not, I urge you to make a decision for him while you still can. That's the, I guess, the terminology that I will use along with the Roman way and sitting down and talking to somebody about Jesus Christ. Larry has told me on several occasions, I'm sure Joe is in the same boat, but people come up to him, you need to talk to this person about being a Christian. You need to explain the plan of salvation to him. I tell each one of you, including myself, that it's up to us to be able to tell people about that plan of salvation. We need to emphasize what we believe in and how we came to believe it, and then that hope for the inheritance that we have and the victory in Jesus to spend all eternity with him. And if you can't do that, if you'll talk to Joey or Larry or myself or anybody, the instruction that we have through this church, there's a plan there. What is it? The ABCs that we've learned in Bible school. Admit, believe, and confess. There's a plan. And it's diagram that we could all use in pointing out what we believe. And I encourage you as Christians not to be ashamed to tell anybody about Christ. There's a fellow here that's a deacon. He hands out cards. I love those cards. You might meet me and forget me. You've lost nothing. But if you don't believe in Jesus, you've lost everything. I love that card. That's very meaningful to me. You know, Jesus promises salvation and opportunity to spend that eternity with him if we choose to accept him as our Lord and Savior. And what does John 14:6 say? I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through the Son. Think about that. That's so important. We talk to people about our religious beliefs. We need to make them aware that they're not just here and there, that's our foundation, that's what we believe in. And by contrast, when you think of wise believers, they constantly seek to understand the best way to serve. Do I understand it all? No. Do I understand everything that's in the Bible? Absolutely not. But I've got that faith, what is it, Hebrews 1, something like the substance of things unknown, the hope of things to come, that I believe that it's true. And we all need to come to that understanding to be able to serve. They're eager, you know, to comprehend the Lord's word when you think about it, and they then try to live it out every day as best we can. Of course, we'll never be perfect. There was only one perfect, and look what happened to him. But we need to try as best we can to obtain what the good Lord, the knowledge that he would instruct us and have us to have. Wisdom comes from the Lord. Knowledge is based on experience. So we need to try as best we can to obtain that wisdom which the Lord imparts to us. And think about this. He came to us. We didn't go to him, and it's there for us. If you go to instructions about living in Ephesians 5:18, and you look at verse 18, this is one that's I like to emphasize. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, that debauchery, to my way of thinking, debauchery is pretty much reckless living. A lot of people go that route. It says, instead of that, the alternative for Christians is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I thought about that this week. Paul continued to instruct and distinguish between wisdom and foolishness as he encouraged Christians to give up in control of their lives to him. We need to ask him what direction he would have us to go in, and then the opportunities that he presents. How do we do that? Through prayer. And then when we ask, we all want, in my opinion, instant gratification. We need to wait on him, and he answers prayer in his time and in his way. And folks, we need to listen to that still, small voice. And, you know, he began with foolish people who submitted themselves to the power and the influence of wine. Well, we all know that in those days, a lot of what it wasn't what it should be. And people turned to wine and not only just to be able to drink something, but their religious beliefs. And frequently, in their religious and pagan celebrations, they got drunk. They got inebriated. My word, they got polluted. So you think about that. Drinking gave them a temporary escape from the difficulties of daily living. It gives people, what's changed? It gives people today a temporary escape from the difficulties of daily living. And in the end, when you think about that, the choice to get drunk always proves foolish. It affects families. It affects livelihoods. It affects all the aspects of living, and especially Christian living. Wine caused the problem of that reckless living debauchery, when you think about it. To me, a mental picture might be of someone who could no longer control what he or she was saying, feeling, or doing. They're kind of like, I guess my expression would be, in the twilight zone. They don't know what's going on. And I'm going to tell you the truth, I can relate to that feeling. And in the last couple of weeks, I can relate to it. And you're asking why? I'm going to tell you, my friends. Last week, my doctor prescribed medication for essential tremors. Well, I tried that. It was only 50 milligrams, but you know what? Dizziness set in. I could hardly stand up, and just as well might have been inebriated. Now, don't ask me how I know about being inebriated. Believe me, I've been there in years past. But I could hardly stand up. When you think about it, I know what the effects of alcohol can do. And I went to Roanoke with my wife. She had a medical appointment there. I laid in the seat of the car. I was completely out of it. I came home. I called the doctor. And she told me, she said, well, just take half of that. Cut it in half to 0.25. I did that, and I had the same result. So believe me, we got off that medication, or I did, immediately. And the wife helped me to be able to do that. But I was polluted. I was out of it. And after, you know, even on wine, alcohol is so prevalent this day and time. And not only that, but you think about substance abuse, drugs out there. I get so concerned when I think about all the things that are being legislated, the sinful things. You know, I'm not qualified, nor do I want to, nor am I instructed to judge anybody. But this week I got up two mornings in the paper, same-sex marriage. Believe me, I'm against that because the Bible says it's an abomination. The other thing is the potential for the legalization of marijuana. They've already done it in Colorado, and you think about that, it's headed all over the United States. There's just so many things that are being legislated, in my opinion, to some extent, sin's being legislated. We need to pray about that. We need to talk to our politicians. Friends, we need as Christians to stand up for what we believe is right. And after they sobered up, you think about it, their troubles hadn't ended, they were still there. Their troubles were unsolved. Our troubles today, if we get to that state, are still unsolved if we get inebriated because of the fact that we want to get away from what I call real world. Such wastefulness bore witness to the utter foolishness of a person who chased after wine. And that person was under the influence. It's been my experience to see people who were under the influence of alcohol. They either, one or two ways they go. They either get happy or mean. And I've seen some that were both ways. So we don't need that as Christians. We need to think about it, and we need to try, not condemn anybody, but try as best we can to influence that as far as our Christian life. And then after he warned believers not to submit themselves to destructive influence of wine, Paul turned to another subject. What could that be? Being filled with the Holy Spirit. We all deal with that, and hopefully on a weekly and daily and even an hourly basis sometimes. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not something that happens only once. It's not something, in my opinion, that happens only when you make a profession of faith with our Lord and Savior. It's something that should happen repeatedly in our lives, even years after we give ourselves to Christ. The Holy Spirit came to dwell in us at the moment that we repented to Him, and the moment we chose to give our lives to Him. He came to us. Like I said, we didn't go to Him. And we were saved as we acknowledged His presence in our lives, His presence in our lives, and intends to fulfill us constantly as we journey towards maturity in Christ. That's a big part of our journey towards maturity in Almighty God. Now we look, when you think about that, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit affects us in another way. Well, what could that be? We are able to speak to one another so that we can grow. And if you go into 15, 19 through 21, it talks about singing to the Lord. We do that here. We praise the Lord. We're moved to make music to Him. We are encouraged to make music to Him as led by Penny and the choir. You think about that. I like to sing solo, so nobody will hear me because I don't have that talent. But I thought about a few Sundays ago in wanting to relate to you something that would be appropriate considering influence and spiritual motivation. Do you remember a few Sundays ago when this choir sung Amazing Grace? I could feel spiritually lifted. I was motivated. I could feel it in my bones, in my body. I rose to the top of the heap. I rose to the zenith of my existence. That song motivated me to the hilt, so to speak. You think about the choir, it was uplifting. It was spiritually motivating. And, you know, we affirm ourselves in worship and singing from the heart. That's the way we should proceed that. We should go about it, as is emphasized in Ephesians 19 through 21. And I thought about the fellow that wrote Amazing Grace, John Newton. He was converted from the world. He was a captain of a slave ship. He dealt in slavery. He dealt in human bondage. And yet, he was changed. You think about that. He wrote that song, Amazing Grace. Oh, I love that song. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. To me, friends, that's a comforting thought. It should be to each and every one of us who are Christians. And everything that spiritually happens to us, we should give thanks to God. Without fail, we don't need to take Him for granted. We need to know that He's our Lord and Savior, and we need to give Him credit for everything spiritually that happens in our lives. Some people, and I've used this illustration before, but I like it. Sometimes people take the Lord Jesus Christ for granted. My wife gave me an ATM card. It's sometimes like going to the bank to get money out only when I need it, and not expressing that love, that concern, not expressing that thanks to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for everything that happens in my life, only in times of trouble, in times of hardship, and when I feel like I've reached rock bottom, highs and lows and peaks, and when we're in those valleys and I need His help. I need to give Him thanks every day and for everything, to acknowledge Him in both good times and bad. And we should always express, I guess, gratitude to God for what He's doing in our lives. He gives us opportunities. He gives us opportunities to serve others, as what this scripture today that we have points out to us. Paul points everything to Jesus Christ, and so should we. Jesus laid the foundation. You think about that, the foundation for our faith. And Paul and others, I guess Apollos and others, came along and watered it. Think about that. They culminated the foundation that Jesus Christ laid. And Paul also instructed us as Christians to submit to one another. Well, I don't generally, I guess, march to the drum of the beat of anybody else's drum. But we need to submit to one another. We need to be caring and concerned about the needs of others. And when we see a need, we need to address it, not just shuffle it under a rug and, oh, just let it go. We need to address that immediately and help folks where we can. We must place the needs of others about above self. That's what I'm trying to say. So often we're concerned about what's in it for me, what can I get out of it, instead of trying to comprehend what can I do to help someone else. Examples that he uses, and I went on in Ephesians, we don't have time for that today, but Ephesians 22, 5:22, and then 6 through 9, he talks about being married, the instruction that we have there, raising children, and working for others. All those things are so pertinent to the example and influence that we need to have as far as being a Christian and influencing others through trying to maintain a Christian perspective and then a Christian life. We should submit to one another's needs from a common, I guess, reverence for Christ, a common reverence and respect for Almighty God. Jesus Christ, God's Son, when you think about it, submitted himself to a horrible death on a shameful cross so that we could have eternal life. I've talked about that extensively this morning. You think about it. He died on the cross so that we might have eternal life. He gave everything. It wasn't just, as a fellow told me one time, we were out for breakfast, and he this was a Christian man. He said, you know, he said, we've got ham and eggs here. He said, that chicken was involved, but said that ham gave everything. So you think about it. We need to go to that extent. We need to give everything, our full support, our full love, to give Christ control of our lives. And then in light of what Jesus did for us, we need to submit to other believers in service as, you know, reasonable expression of God's love. And then if we go, I thought about this, and I'd just like to use this too, the answer to our Christian beliefs. I know that God says he'll never leave us nor forsake us, but I love these verses, and I'm going to use them. 2 Chronicles 7:14 has the answer to our problems in life. It has the answer to our problems as Christians. And this is what it said. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, a priority, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. My friends, that's the only hope that we have for the redeeming of America. That's the only hope that we have as Christians as far as our land. And then I thought about, as I went this morning and looking a little bit about what I wanted to, and looking at what I wanted to say concerning wisdom, comes from the Lord. And, the final aspect of that has to do with Proverbs 3 and 5-7. And this is what the good book says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. So appropriate in the example and influence that we have in our Christian life. We need to go to him and ask his guidance in everything. And it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And then, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. How about our actions? How about the things that we relate to others? Are we concerned about others? Are we concerned about family? Do we have prayer at the table? Do we try to emphasize our Christian beliefs to children, to grandchildren? Do we try to reach out to others who do not know Christ? Think about all these things, my friends. And as we go forward this week, let's try to do something and be concerned about bringing somebody to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, about helping somebody as best we can and as opportunity presents itself. We all are here, I believe honestly, that we love the Lord. And I know that good Christian people, I enjoy being around them. I enjoy talking to them. They motivate and inspire me to want to do better, to be a better Christian. I'll never obtain full maturity, but as far as my path on this earth, as far as going forward through this phase we call life until I reach eternity, I want to do the best I can. I encourage each of you to do the same, to think about that, to take that motivation with you. And if anybody doesn't have a church home, I encourage you to think about placing your membership with this church. Number one, it'd be your commitment to Almighty God, and then the commitment to him through this church. Think about it. If you don't have a church home, or you want to make a profession of faith, or if you want to come down here and pray, please do that. God is in control of our lives. He'll never leave us or forsake us. And if Penny will come to the organ, we're going to give each and every one of you, those that don't know him, an opportunity to make a profession of faith. If you don't have a church home of your own, please come down and think about making that profession of faith. If you want to come pray, please do that. There's so much stress in this world and trying situations and all kind of things that we have to deal with as Christians. But I think that today some of the focus from Ephesians was so appropriate for this day and time. What's changed in several thousand years? It's still the same focus. Those guidelines and precepts are so important to us and are still so appropriate for the lives that we live as Christians. Penny? Think about it. Take some of the things that we've talked about that you've learned in Sunday school this morning. If you have opportunity, come back tonight. We're going to look at Psalm 31 and some of the kind of things that King David had to deal with, some of his highs and lows and peaks and valleys. And so as we go, take the thought of having a personal relationship between you and Jesus Christ with you. Let's have a word of prayer in closing. Dear Heavenly Father, again we thank you for the opportunity of being at your house today. I thank you for the guidance, the guidelines, the precepts that you've given us through your word. Help us as Christians to try to have continuous improvement, to try to live up to those guidelines, our Father. You tell us that in our efforts to serve you, you equip us, dear God. Not only that, you empower us to promote, to try as best we can to promote your word to others. Help us to live a Christian life and to think about how we might better live as Christians, not only in church on Sunday, but out in the trenches during the week. Go with us, guide us, and help us as your people and as the only instruments that you have on this earth. For this we ask in thy holy and precious name and for thy sake, Almighty God. Amen. Go in peace.